Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man program here on Wednesday, May the 12th of 2021. And I am your host this evening, the Miracle Man. And I am glad to be back with you tonight. It's another episode of this program. And I want to say thank you to all of you, those of you who have been a part of this for the last nearly 4 years. And for those of you who are new to us, we welcome you as well. And I do want to apologize for the late starts the previous two nights. Sometimes technology just likes to throw curveballs. So I am very sorry about what happened the last two nights with the late starts. That is so not like me. And of course, in neither case was it my intention to start late. And we do always start at 6:30, unless otherwise noted. At 6:30, we're ready to go. And like I said last night, generally we run until 8 o'clock or just before. But we're so glad that you've made the determination to join us tonight. If you hear an echo at all, it's because I am in my new apartment. And if you hear any echo at all, that's all it is. So I hope we still have good sound. Obviously, we have very good connection as we got it wired for internet. And just glad to be with you. A couple things I wanted to mention. And I always like it when we have positive things to mention, like that's fun going on. And one of them is all those 50s that we had been dealing with in Michigan, those of you living in the southern states, they'll be 60s tomorrow and Friday. After that, until further notice, we're done, even up here. We're going back to the 70s as of Saturday, possibly Friday even up here. And it looks like we're going to be staying there for at least the next 7 days after. Isn't that what you saw, Tuesday? At least the next 7 days after? Yep, at least the next 7 days after that, and hopefully a whole lot more. The reason I say a whole lot more is because by the time we're to the end of the 10-day forecast, you're at the 21st. Which means by that point, you're starting to get close to June. And, of course, this year, Memorial Day is as late as it can be. And So hopefully we can keep it warmer. I know I want it to start being warmer so we can have it warmer by the end of May for the lakes, the beaches. And what have you. But we'll have to have some 80s to get the water warmer, I'm sure. But we're getting there. We'll get there. I know we will. It's just sometimes you have to wait a little longer than other times. And the other thing I want to mention is there's a Hello Kitty cafe truck coming to Detroit this weekend. It'll be there on Saturday. And I went there once a couple of years ago when they had it. And it was pretty neat. Obviously, they did not have it last year due to the thing. Being, I wouldn't even name it, should probably tell you folks that I'm tired of it. The big thing that dominated all of last year. Other than the first, 2 months. But even then in this country, they were talking about it a lot. But the Hello Kitty truck will be at 12 Oaks Mall, Novi, Saturday. And so, also, it's going to be a good show tonight. We are going to get back into the Book of Samuel and what continues to happen with Saul. And all that I wanted to mention to you that on Memorial Day, May 31st, I do still plan to do a show as of right now. And I'll be talking about those who gave up their life for our country, the United States of America. And we'll be talking about that when the time comes. Also, wait a minute. I do want to remind you also that you can go grab yourself an any size Coca-Cola for the price of just $1 a piece. And while you're there, if you have the app, you can have a large fry for just $1. And hopefully they remember to give heaps in the bag. Heaps of fries. Yes, heaps. Because I like heaps. I don't like it when it's when they're just haphazardly put together, not that many fries in the box. I don't like that so much. I like heaps. Like when you go to that Five Guys that they have in large metro areas, they give you big amounts of fries, but you never get them for a dollar, even on the app. Not even on the app can you get them for a dollar. But at McDonald's you can. If you got the app and you signed in to receive the deals, and that's probably my favorite deal that they got. And if you haven't tried the crispy chicken sandwich yet, the original one, it is really good. It is a bit like the Chick-fil-A sandwich. But the Chick-fil-A sandwich in my book is the winner. And you may wonder, what about this chicken shortage? Do you blame these fast food restaurants that have been making all these chicken sandwiches? No. I blame Tyson for making the terrible mistake of going with this other rooster because they thought it was better quality, but it wasn't giving the bigger amount. No, I'm not mad at him at all. Well, I was glad that they caught it. And unfortunately, these chicken plants, because of cases in the factories, decided to slow production, which of course I think was a mistake. Like I said, you can go to your local McDonald's and try one of these new crispy chicken sandwiches. And hopefully for you it'll be somewhat like the Chick-fil-A sandwich. Because in my mind, Chick-fil-A sandwich is still the winner as far as the fast food chicken sandwiches that I've tried. I have not tried the Popeyes one yet. We do not have a Popeyes in this town. I wish we did, but we don't. Hopefully someday we will. We need one, but we don't have one. But before we can get one, we need to know for sure that that chicken shortage is resolved for good, permanently. Because I don't ever want that thing to come back again. That shortage. There's things I could get into as to why I think it happened and these other shortages. I'm not going to do that. I am not going to do that. So, moving on. Price and participation may vary. Tax extra C, or for details. All right. A couple more things. First of all, I want to remind you to please go check out the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of a God that she could not see but strongly believed in. And it's a great read. you can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out more information about the book. We are believing to sell as many copies of the book as possible. Amen. We're believing to sell as many as possible. Yes, we are. And God's going to help us. I know he is. And we are going to sell these books. The other thing I want to remind you of. Oh, wait a minute. Let me give another plug. What the book is the story of the first 30 years of my life. All the miracles that have happened in my life over the first 30 years of my life. And how many of you listeners know that God's not done with me yet? God's not done with me yet. God's not done with you yet. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I hope you claim the same thing over your life. He never quits working on us. It doesn't matter how old you get. Doesn't matter whether you're 11, 21, 31, 61, 81, or 101. If you are living on this planet, God is still working on you. To make you what you ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter, and Mars. Yes, I know some of you probably want to go there right now. Wouldn't you love to just go to Mars, Shelley? No, I'm just teasing you. Some of you maybe would, but you can find out information about the book, riversofmiracles.com. The other thing I want to mention to you is we have a PayPal now. You can go online to PayPal. And on PayPal, you can give whatever donation you want. I mean, sow whatever seed you want. Excuse me. Sow whatever seed you want. This is very good ground to sow into this program, the teaching of the Word of God. That's what we're about here. Amen. And whatever seed you sow goes right back into this program. And when you get on PayPal, you can search Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, last name Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. And you can give whatever amount you would like to give into the program. The verse I want to stand on is where it talks about, and whoever sows seed into the good ground yields a crop of that which is sown 30 times, 60 times, even 100-fold, no, 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold what is sown. 100-fold return, 100-fold, 100-fold. No, that's not 100 times. That's 100-fold. That's even bigger. So don't you dare ever limit God on what he can do. Don't put any limits on him. Don't put any boundaries on him. And there's another verse that comes to my mind right now. He who sows sparingly shall also reap. Shall also reap. So you still you sowing spiritually, not sowing that much, meaning like maybe you got a decent amount, maybe you got some money, and you're sowing very, very little of it, like you're being sparingly about it. You'll reap, but you'll reap sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And sparingly versus bountifully, it's not strictly based on the amount of dollars you sow. It's the heart. God looks at the heart. It goes based on the percent. So if you give, if one person gives 35% and another person gives 12%, I would think, who do you think gets more blessed? The one who gives the 35%. Yeah, that's what it is. Praise God. So God looks on the heart. So as you sow seeds into this program, I pray over those seeds. And I make sure that I get notified every time seed is sown into this program, so that I can pray for you and so that you can get blessed. And because I want to see you prosper. I do. I want to see you prosper. Our God is the God of more than enough, not just enough. He's the God of more than enough. Like I said, one of these days, real soon, I'm going to teach on the heaps. Maybe next week I'll do that. As I said, I want to see you. I'm going to teach on the heaps, what the heaps are, so that this can be activated. And it's not just about this thing called heaps. No. I want to see you blessed. I want to see God bless you. That's what I want to see. You harping on giving. I'm not trying to take from you. I'm trying to get the blessing of God to you. I'm trying to get money to you. Not take from you. No. I'm trying to get it to you. Amen. So make sure as you sow your seed, of course, you pray over it. Call yourself blessed. And don't you dare say over yourself, I'm poor. I have nothing. I lack. No. How about instead say what God says about you and say, I lack no good thing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we're going to sing. And then we are going to go into the word of the Lord for the evening. I am chosen, I am free, I am living for eternity, yours now forever. You've got me on to realize, I'm yours now forever. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. I am chosen, I am free. I am living for eternity. I'm free now forever. Even quickly I approach your throne. Give his life to Christ my own. I'm free now forever. Oh, nothing's gonna hold me back. No, nothing's gonna hold me back. No, nothing's gonna hold me back. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Now I'm free to live. I'm free to give. Free to be. I'm free to love you. Free to give. Free to give. Free to be. I'm free to love you. Free to live. Free to give. Free to be. I'm free to love you, Lord. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things I made new, surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. What a moment you have brought me through. What a freedom I have found in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. 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 I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things I made new, surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. What a freedom you have found me in your hand. You have given me a second chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a freedom. What a freedom. You have got me in your hand. You have given me a second chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new, surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new, surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. You make all things you, yes, you make all things you, and I will follow you forward. You make all things you, yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. You make all things new, yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. You make all things new, yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. You make all things new, yes, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The one who gave the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who gave the deaf to hear, he's silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is falling, flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. Oh, you're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. You're the God who was and is to come. You're the power of the risen one. You're the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your miracle working power working in us. I'm grateful that you're moving on our behalf, that you are strengthening us, that you are making us who we ought to be. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. You are the miracle worker. You never run out of miracles. You have no miracle shortage. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on our life. It's great to serve you. It's great to know that you alone are our God. And I'm grateful to serve you, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord God, for all these people tuned in tonight. I thank you that you just strengthened them tonight. You blessed them for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that as we study your word, that you reveal this word to us, that you that these people have ears ready to hear, minds ready to understand, ready to receive your word tonight, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for that. Now, Heavenly Father, I make my confession over this program tonight. I thank you that finances are coming into this program, that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, that increases in listenership are coming to this program. Most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this wonderful radio program. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen. Let's make our confession, because the word of God says we can have the fruit of our lips. Say this. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the word says I have. I can do what the word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus, wave that Bible if you got it with you. Wave that thing, make the devil mad. How many of you know the devil hates that when you open the Word of God? He doesn't like it. He hates it. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 13. And we are continuing dealing with Saul. And I want to encourage you, those of you at home or driving or whatever you're doing, wherever you are, you do whatever we do. You do wherever you are, whatever I do here where I am. If it's safe for you to do so, I clap, you clap. I pray, you pray. I study the Bible, you follow along. I exhort you. Pay attention. Take notes if you want. Amen. I'm in chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Saul was 30, it says in parentheses, years old when he became king. He reigned over Israel for 42 years. Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel, 2,000 with him at McMash. No, that is not a type of McDonald's. So if you have that as an idea, just get that out of your brain. We'll read that verse again without that. Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel. 2,000 were with him at Michmash in the hill country of Bethel. And 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah in Benjamin. The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. And Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Gibeah, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had the trumpet blown throughout the land, and he said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel has become they trust to the Philistines. And the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. And the Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And they went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Aven. When the men of Israel saw their situation was critical and that their army was hard pressed, they hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time sent by Saul, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "Well, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal. And I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and has appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Then Samuel left Gilgal and went up to Gibeah in Benjamin. And Saul counted the men who were with him. They numbered about 600. Excuse me. Sorry about that. And I'm at about 600. Saul and his son Jonathan and the men with them were staying in Gibeah in Benjamin, while the Philistines camped at Michmash, raiding parties went out from the Philistine camp in three detachments. One turned toward Ophrah in the vicinity of Shaul, another toward Beth Haran, and the third toward the borderland overlooking the valley of Zebulun facing the desert. Not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel because the Philistines had said, otherwise the Hebrews will make swords or spears. Israel went down to the Philistines to have their plowshares mattocks, ashes, and sickles sharpened. The price was 2/3 of a shekel for sharpening plowshares and mattocks, and 1/3 of a shekel for sharpening forks and axes and for repointing goads. So on the day of the battle, not a solitaire of Saul and Jonathan had a sword or a spear in his hand. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had them. Now a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash, chapter 14. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing the armor, come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Negron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was a son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitab, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Sinai. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, and the other to the south toward Gibeah. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost with those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in mind, the armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. Jonathan said, come then. We will cross over toward the men, and we will let them see. If they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we will stay where we are, and we will not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes that they were hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us, and we will teach you a lesson. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Jonathan climbed up, using his hands and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Verse 15. Then panic struck the whole army, those in the camp and field, and those in the outposts and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. Saul's lookouts at Gibeah and Benjamin saw the army melting away in all directions. Then Saul said to the men who were with him, muster the forces and see who has left us. When they did, it was Jonathan and his armor bearer who were not there. Saul said to Ahijah, bring the Ark of God. At that time, it was with the Israelites. While Saul was talking to the priest, the tumult in the Philistine camp increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all his men assembled and went to the battle. And they found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. The Hebrews, who had previously been to the Philistines and were gone up with them to their camp, went over to the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. And when all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on the run, they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So the Lord rescued Israel that day. And the battle moved on beyond Beth Avon. Verse 24. Now the men of Israel were not distressed that day because Saul had bound the people under an oath saying, cursed be any man who eats food before evening comes, before I have avenged myself on my enemies. So none of the troops tasted food. The entire army entered the woods, and there was honey on the ground. And when they went into the woods, they saw the honey moseying out, yet no one put his hand to his mouth because they feared the oath. But Jonathan had not heard that his father had bound the people of the oath. So he reached out the end of the staff that was in his hand and dipped it into a honeycomb. And he raised his hands to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. Then one of the soldiers told him, "Your father bound the army under a strict oath, saying, 'Cursed be any man who eats food today.' That is why the men are faint." Jonathan said, "My father has made trouble for the country. See how my eyes brightened when I tasted just a little bit of this honey? How much better it would have been if the men had eaten today? Some of the plunder they took from their enemies. Wouldn't the slaughter of the Philistines have been even greater? That day, after the Israelites had struck down the Philistines from Michmash to Adullam, they were exhausted. They pounced on the plunder and the taking sheep, cattle, and calves, and they butchered them on the ground and ate them together with the blood. Then someone said to Saul, 'Look, the men are sinning against the Lord by eating meat that has blood in it.' 'You have broken faith,' he said. 'Roll a large stone over here at once.' Then he said, 'Go out among the men and tell them, each of you bring me your cattle and sheep and slaughter them here and eat them. Do not sin against the Lord by eating meat with blood in it.' So everyone brought his ox that night and slaughtered it there. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. It was the first time that he had actually done this. Saul said, 'Let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them till dawn, and let us not leave one of them alive. Do whatever seems best to you,' they replied. But the priest said, 'Let us inquire of God here first.' So Saul asked God, 'Shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you give them into Israel's hand?' But God didn't answer him that day. Saul therefore said, 'Come here, all of you who are leaders of the army, and let us find out what sin has been committed today. As surely as the Lord who rescues Israel lives, even if it lies with my son Jonathan, he must die.' But not one of the men said a word. Saul then said to all the Israelites, 'You stand over there. I and Jonathan, my son, will stand over here. Do what seems best to you,' they replied. Then Saul prayed to the Lord, the God of Israel, 'Give me the right answer.' And Jonathan and Saul were taken by lot, and the men were cleared. Saul said, cast a lot between me and Jonathan, my son. And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what you have done. Jonathan told him, I merely tasted just a little honey with the end of my staff. And now must I die? Saul said, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you do not die. Jonathan. But the men said to Saul, should Jonathan die? He who has brought about this great deliverance in Israel? Never. As surely as the Lord lives, not a hair of his head will fall to the ground. And he did this today with God's help. So the men rescued Jonathan, and he was not put to death. Then Saul stopped pursuing the Philistines, and they withdrew to their own land. After Saul had had assumed rule over Israel, he fought against their enemies on every side. Moab, the Ammonites, Edom, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines, wherever they turned, he inflicted punishment on them. And he fought valiantly, and he defeated the ambushments. We'll read 15 real quick, then we'll discuss. And Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people, Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they laid them down and came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death women, children, infants, cattle, and sheep, camels, donkeys. So Saul summoned the men, mustered them, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said, Amalekites, go away. Leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kittites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Avila to the east of Egypt. And he took Agag of the Amalekites and all his people that he totally destroyed with the swords. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs. Everything that was good. So they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he turned away from me and he has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up, and he went to meet Saul, because he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor. And he turned, and he has gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, then what is this bleating of sheep in my ears? And what is this lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites, and they spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord, your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Stop, Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. And Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, didn't you become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And he sent you on a mission saying, go completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites, make war on them until you have wiped them out. And why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission that the Lord commanded me to. And I completely destroyed the Amalekites. And I brought back Agag, the king, with soldiers, took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is just as bad as the sin of divination and witchcraft. And arrogance is just like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, so I gave in to them. Now I beg of you, forgive me. Forgive my sin. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. And as Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and he has given it to one of your neighbors, to one who is better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind, Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I can worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring me Agag, king of the Amalekites. Agag came to him, immediately thinking, surely the bitterness of death is taken. But Samuel said, as your sword has made woman childless, so your mother be childless among women. And Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord at Gibeah. Then Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah with Saul until the day that Samuel died. He did not go to see Saul again. Even though Samuel mourned for him. And the Lord was grieved that he had made Saul king of Israel. What you see here is Saul, the Lord had given Saul instructions. Instructions that Saul was expected to carry out. First of all, there was the whole thing with Michmash. Saul didn't listen there. Then, he was told what to do with the Amalekites. Kill all of the Amalekites. All. Regardless of whether they're men, women, children, babies, donkeys, sheep, dogs, cats, regardless of what animals they were, God said, kill them all. Get rid of them. You know what Saul had him do? Saul only killed the ones that were not good. He only killed the weak. He saved the best. And Saul sat there and said to Samuel, first he was sitting there like, well, Samuel, I did everything you asked. I did everything the Lord said. I killed them all. Samuel says, well, what's all the sheep I hear? What's all these other, what's this grazing I hear, the cows? What's all this noise? And he said, he killed him. And the ones he killed, he was going to use as a sacrifice. He was going to save the best. But kill the rest. Of course, Saul told him that God had even said, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better to obey. And folks, it's really important in life that if God tells you something to do, you need to do it. If you need more direction, because you can't necessarily understand what it is, maybe it's difficult or something, he can help you with that. But at some point, when he clearly tells you something to do, you can totally understand what he's asking you to do. You need to do it. Because what Saul did was, first, he lied to Samuel, which also meant he lied before God. He lied. Did not tell the truth. And lying and rebellion are both severe sins. They were compared to one of them was compared to idolatry, which are all severe. Sin is sin. And if you're sinning on purpose, you need to stop and get right with God. Now, not trying to be crude or anything like that. Oh, yeah, you told me to stop sinning. Yes, I'm telling you to stop because I want to see you be right with God. Amen. I want to see you right with God. I want to see you make heaven. So you have to obey God when God gives you an assignment. You need to do it. And if you fall short, you need to at least admit it. Don't sit there and say, I did it all, when you didn't do it all. Like you only did what seemed important to you, what you only did what you seemed would help you, because that was how Saul got in trouble. And then tore on Saul's robe, Samuel's robe, and said that he wanted to go and worship God with Samuel. Eventually, he did go worship God with Samuel, but then Samuel went back to his home. Never again did Saul see Samuel. Never again. Because later, Samuel died. And when we come back Monday night, we're going to be continuing on with Saul. And Samuel was a prophet. So to think that Saul lied right there in front of a prophet of God. You don't ever do that. Ever. Ever. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would get this word on the inside of us, that we would always fulfill everything you've called us to do. When you've given us an assignment, we'll do it, not just the part that seems good to us, but we will do the full assignment completely, the way that you want it done. And I just thank you that you would use us, that we would always be obedient to you, and that whatever sin we have, that we would get it out, and that if we're guilty, we would confess it. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. And now, Heavenly Father, I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, because you, Lord God, have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, no COVID, none of this evil stuff will come near us, our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. Amen. Go in God. I will see you Monday. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.